Well, with me today is Jason Noble, and Jason's a good friend to us here at First Colony. Jason and his wife, Erica, their four children are here. And Jason and Erica spent a lot of their growing up years right here at First Colony. Jason was on our youth ministry staff for a number of years. He's been the preaching minister at the Friendly Avenue Church of Christ in Greensboro, North Carolina. They're in their 13th year of ministry there. One of the all-time great names in local churches, the Friendly Avenue Church of Christ. You gotta love that. And let me tell you, Jason's one of the finest people I know. Talented, skilled, loves the Lord, an excellent Bible teacher, spiritual leader. And Jason, thank you again for being with us today. Everybody say, hi, Jason.
Hi, Jason.
And let's welcome Jason to First Colony today, please. Well, the Bible teaches us often about becoming new people through the influence of the Holy Spirit. There is a way of personal growth. There is a way of transformation, and it is by way of the Spirit. And today, Jason and I are going to be talking under that umbrella, under the title, The Fruit We Share. So again, Jason, welcome. And why don't you kind of set up what you'd like to share with us today?
Yeah, and before I do that, I do want to take the opportunity to say thank you to many of you, to be able to worship with you today. Many of you are the people that taught me to love and surrender to Jesus. Beginning with my parents, who started attending this church when I was in eighth grade, and extended beyond to many spiritual uncles and grandparents and parents in the faith. And I know I would not be who I am today without this congregation teaching me and investing in my life. And of all the times I've sat here, I have not taken the opportunity to say that, and I wanted to make sure you heard that today, how grateful I am for you and your influence in my life. The topic is, it's something that's been in my heart all year. The influence the Holy Spirit has on who we are, who we become, how we become more like Christ in our journey. And I was convicted this last year that I think in my teaching I have neglected this concept that Paul outlines in Galatians 5. It's a biblical spiritual concept. And it's the contrary concept, or the conflict between the fruit of the Spirit, God's working in our lives to produce in us His qualities, those wonderful, sweet, good-tasting fruits, versus the works of the flesh, just the hairy, rotten, sour fruits that are produced in our lives by the flesh. And I just hadn't taught on that, thought about that like I think we should.
Yeah, and you think that neglect certainly has a number of practical implications. Now, when we mention, say, the flesh, you know, you read, for example, if you want to open your Bible, I would encourage you to open it to Galatians chapter 5. Take your phone and go to Galatians chapter 5, really verses 16 through 26. But, you know, some translations will say flesh. Other translations will say sinful nature.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you give us a definition, if you would, or kind of a working definition of the flesh, the sinful nature?
Yeah, and that may be one of the more difficult questions. How do you define flesh? And the reason that's hard is it's a dynamic term. Sometimes it refers to literally our skin, our flesh, and that's what it means, nothing more. Sometimes it's kind of used synonymously with where Paul and other passages would say the world, or being worldly. You've maybe heard use that phrase. That's worldly. Well, that's flesh. That's what it means. And in Galatians 5, it does most likely refer to that sinful nature, that fallen part of humanity that exists under the curse, and it represents that piece of us that we understand is there and very real.
That part of us that's natural and does not cherish the things of God and the ways of God.
Yeah.
Sort of do what I want to do when I want to do it.
That's it.
There you go.
Way.
All right. So how does the flesh, how does the sinful nature negatively impact us and really it leads to self-defeating behaviors and mindsets.
It really does, and it may be the heaviest grief associated with this is the destruction that we see and experience in our lives because of the flesh. And if you were to just say in one word, what's the most negative thing that happens with the flesh? It will be destruction. That's the biblical word. Paul will say it twice. Once in Galatians 6, he'll say, you know, hey, don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. If you sow to the flesh, by the flesh, you will reap destruction. That's the word, destruction. Now, the hope side of that, God's great vision for our lives is, but if by the Spirit, if you sow to the Spirit, by the Spirit, you will reap eternal life. And so destruction is a part of however long it will take, I don't know, but the flesh will always lead itself there. You know, defining the flesh is kind of like defining an apple tree. Well, define an apple tree. Well, you know, maybe the easiest way or best way to define the essence of an apple tree is just to pull off an apple and enjoy its fruit. Well, and that's the same way with the flesh in Galatians 5. He'll just kind of list some what we call the works of the flesh. And it's not an exhaustive list. You know, he ends that list with, you know, and the like, and things like this. But that list is pretty exhaustive. And
why don't we take, let's go ahead and put that passage up on the screen, shall we? That Galatians 5 passage.
Yeah, so if you have your Bibles, you can see that he'll list about 13 things. I'm estimating, I forget exactly how many things are on this list. But if you look at the types of things Paul's going to be showing us, saying this is what the flesh works toward. This is what the flesh produces in our lives. Take a look at that list. I don't know if we can put it on the screen. These kinds of things, whatever label we want to give these things, the ultimate end will be destruction, a surrendered life, relationships just falling apart, sexual immorality, impurity, drunkenness, orgies, hatred, dissensions, jealousies, factions, fits of rage, you know, these kind of things. If you go down to you just open up a case file, just go down to divorce court and open up a case file. I'm just wondering, take this list. How many of these things will be present in that narrative? It's destruction.
It's always intrigued me. The word in verse 19, the acts of the flesh are, here's the key word, obvious. Obvious. You don't have to think hard and long. You don't have to, you know, wonder, you know, what's a good choice? What's a bad? The acts of the sinful nature, they are obvious, and they are self-defeating. But there is the work of the Spirit that's producing. The master gardener wants to produce and helps us produce, and we'll never be perfect at it, but helps us produce a new trajectory. A different mindset, a different style, and so talk to us a little bit, you know, the works of the flesh, but also leading into what God wants to produce in us.
Yeah, and so God loves us. He loves his creation, loves his world, loves his people, and his great vision for our lives is to be people reflective of his image in this world. God's character, God's nature is patient, is loving, is kind. God is gentle in who he is.
Let's put verses 22 and 23 on the screen, please.
So these kind of things, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, these are the things representative of who God is. And he is working in our lives as we surrender to him in faith and seek his will for our lives to produce in us a different kind of living. It is a living that exists in contrast to the obvious sour fruits of the flesh that lead to destruction. And the Spirit then produces life and even leading to life eternal. You know, no relationship fell apart Because, I mean, can you imagine, Ronnie, if somebody said, well, you know, what happened to them? Like, why'd they have to separate? You know, he always whisper about the works of the flesh. You know, what happened over there? Well, nobody ever says, well, you know, as a father, every time there was a conflict in that family, that father, he would engage that situation with just the most incredible gentleness. And so his wife just had enough of it. She just couldn't handle it anymore. It was like habitual. He was just habitually gentle with his children, so that she just said, we're done. But that's not how it works. You've never seen the fruits of the Spirit lead to any kind of destruction. It's just life producing everywhere, and that's God's want for our lives.
Yeah, you want to hang around people who are loving, joyful, peaceful, forbearing, kind. You know, if you were to go out to a friend's garden and see a fruit tree that bears on the same tree, apples, oranges, bananas, peaches, grapefruit, all growing on the same tree, you'd say, this is amazing. You are the greatest gardener in the history of the world. Well, God really is the greatest gardener in the history of the world.
Yeah.
And we can all look in the mirror, if we've walked with the Lord for any length of time, and you can look at others, and again, we're all on a trajectory, on a path, you know, I'm not who I used to be, I'm not all I'm gonna be, but there is a growing and an increasing development of the fruit of the Spirit, not just an apple, not just a grapefruit, but all of these qualities that the Spirit wants to produce in us. Now, you want to say anything else about the fruit of the Spirit before I ask you another question?
No, we can move on. Let's see what you got.
So, talk how. Some practicals. Okay, I get it. The works of the flesh, that's doing what I want to do when I want to do it. And it's easy to just sort of go there. That's just who I am. And what we need to do, we have to make a choice that says, I want to partner with God in some way for life transformation, to become a growing, better, healthier person. How do I do that?
I'm going to ask that God would give to me His Spirit, that He would produce in my life these fruits, seeking them daily, surrendering myself to His work in my life.
That's a powerful reminder. Ask for an increasing measure of the Holy Spirit's influence in my life. Mm-hmm. And like you said, Jesus taught us to ask, seek, and knock. And like a good, good father, He's willing to give the best gift of all.
The best gift. Okay. I'm struggling with that. You know, if you could ask God for anything, what would you ask for? Now, if we had asked that question before we just had this conversation, well, maybe this, maybe that. You know, I got six kids in a real small house, or my car's older. I'm asking for health insurance. That's just what I'm asking for. I just want health insurance. We can ask God for His Spirit, the best gift that we could ever receive.
That's right.
God's presence, His divine helper for our life. Why would we not ask for that?
That's right. You know, I'm thinking when my children were younger and still probably to this day, if I'm speaking to them, you know, Mary Beth, Ryan, something I want to say to you. And maybe I sense they were preoccupied. So, you know, look at me. In other words, when I knew that I had their attention, I spoke. And in the presence of God, when God knows I'm attentive, I'm paying attention, I'm inviting you to have unhindered sway and influence, I believe the Lord speaks and leads in a particularly noteworthy and powerful way.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
So, Jason, as we need to kind of wind down in a moment, what would be some concluding thoughts or a concluding exhortation that you would give to all of us here today?
may have to give Paul the final word. Paul, in Galatians, in this whole context, he says this: the life that I live in the body, in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. That's the final word. It is that foundation of faith that propels continual asking, continual seeking. We believe in the promise of God that when he says he will pour out his Spirit into surrendered people who are seeking him, we ask with the confidence that he will be true to his word and faithful to what he has promised. The life I live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God.
Jason, thank you so very, very much. Every time I have a conversation with Jason, publicly, privately, my heart burns within me because you're always kind of pointing me upward to things that are most important. And Jason, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for
being
with us today. Everybody, let's thank Jason for his encouragement to us.